Greetings and welcome to our Wednesday Rewind here at Believer City Church. We're in Menominee, Wisconsin. We welcome you here with us today. I'm Pastor Tim. I'm the lead preaching pastor here at Believers Church. Each week we gather together here to rewind our previous Sunday service message. And this time we do so in dialogue. And this time we do so in a discussion-based scenario. Around the region today, we have multiple small group gatherings, and they each assemble on Wednesday evenings to review and to discuss our Sunday message immediately after this broadcast, and each of them seeking to apply the message of this gathering into our lives, into our very living. If you're local, you're probably listening to 101.7 FM street level radio. And if you're further away, you're probably listening and watching via the internet, maybe even regional TV. But no matter how you got here, we're certainly glad you are with us. Our message last Sunday was entitled Vigilant, as we finished up the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's jump into it.
You know, I wonder what we would say this morning if we were able to speak to the original recipients of this letter. I think people have an innate ability to look at me as I stand here in the pulpit and yet still truly do not see me. And they do not actually hear my words. Now, no doubt, such an individual treats Christ and his relationship with Christ the same way. As we march towards the end of days, as we march towards an age of Christian obscurity, if we march towards a world where Satan is a roaring lion prowling around seeking whom he may devour, you see, these readers, these original readers, they knew that God had divinely ordained the church as a vehicle, if you will, to create a body of Christ in which to protect his sheep. They understood that the body of Christ was there to nurture them in growth and to move them through this world and this very brief life. We know that the body of Christ, the church, is indeed God's vehicle for evangelism and for discipleship and accountability and fellowship. Believers, we are the bride of Christ. Although we are today, at least in mass, I think often a wayward wife. And it is for anyone who tries to lead in the church today. The burnout rate is astronomical. He readily acknowledges that any reward that might be received from such a service as this may never come in this life. See, if I'm doing this to look to get mine, you know, I'll never make it to the end of this. And Peter, he begins to now head for the exit, the end of the letter, and he leaves us with the call to be sober, to be vigilant. 20 times in the New Testament, believers are reminded to be on the alert and to watch. 20 times. It's almost like I'm heading towards you there on the corner with my motorcycle and I'm flashing my lights, trying to get your attention. Most of the time, you see, it was Jesus himself who called us out. Get serious. Be alert. Watch out. Whenever we go through the fires that are spoken of in this letter, I think we tend to think that that's not the way it's supposed to be. I mean, haven't we all been there? This wasn't supposed to be. I'm a Christian. Why is it like this? Why is it so hard? Well, first of all, you need to know you're not alone in that position. Everyone else, you know, we think is doing fine, and we think everyone else is getting theirs, and we're always on the outside, and that's the words of the devil in your ear. Listen, Satan's goal always is to silence our testimony. He seeks to discourage you, to introduce doubts, to divert you off into philosophy and psychology, and so that the power of the Word of God in your life will be snuffed out. He wants you to get to a position where you think, I got this. I got this. You got nothing. The fact is, most folks will never see this journey, this Christian journey, as a serious commitment.
We've come now to the end of this letter written by the Apostle Peter. It's certainly been a roller coaster ride, an oft difficult classroom to endure, if you will, but no one ever said that this is supposed to be an easy journey. It certainly wasn't for the original readers of this letter. I mean, we would probably whine about how tough it is as believers here in 2025 here in America. But to do that, I think we'd have to be awfully ignorant, or at least quite callous, as to what those believers, those original readers, suffered under Peter's time. No doubt some of them walked away even then, and yet the fires of testing that broke those guys, man, those were testings that lay in a whole other category than the soft breeze of persecution that we suffer under in our day. Now, unless you've been living in a cave somewhere, you are, like I am, quite aware of the state of things within the greater church today. Never have we been more free to worship as we wish, and never have we fell so quickly or so easily as we do today. Lethargy, ease, pleasure, comfort, these are the things that have been our killers, not persecution. From pastors to flock members, to churches, to whole denominations, they all have crashed. They all have burned, invariably attempting to appease, to compromise, and to water down the gospel to make one more easy to digest. Of course, this master plan has been an absolute disaster. All of this letter, just as all of Scripture in general, only finds impact if one were to open himself or herself up to these things, to the testings, to the challenges of the like that Peter has been laying out in this letter. If we move to deflect, if we move to protect, then it really comes down to nothing. And Peter, he wasted his breath then, and all the participants thereafter wasted their efforts if we do not endure. So unless we can be vulnerable to both instruction and to warning, then really all of us are sooner or later going to trip up and we're going over the cliff. Maybe not today, but tomorrow or next week, it will come. So, as Peter comes to the close of this letter, he really just had a couple of last things to say. The first of which is directed towards those who would attempt to lead the church now throughout the ages. The church, we know, according to Scripture, is God's vehicle for evangelism, for discipleship, for accountability, and certainly for fellowship. Moreover, we are called to be the bride of Christ, to in mass to be the church, to be the community, to be the fellowship. And again, if we are the bride of Christ, one has to wonder if we are certainly the wayward wife. We're told that Christ gave us apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to the church, and he gave these individuals, these positions, if you will, for the perfecting of the saints, that's us, by the way, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Paul wrote that back in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Now, the problems plural in the church today lay at the feet of both its leadership as well as those of the sheep. The Bible has given specific qualifications and directions for deacons and elders and pastors, and expressed guidelines for behavior from those they serve. When we fail to adhere to these, we are sure to reap the devastating consequences. Paul says he exhorts the reader. He exhorts the reader. It means to direct and instruct with passion. And you know, I don't think anybody would deny that Peter is certainly passionate about what he's saying in this letter. He is passionate to have the reader truly see him, truly hear him, not just dreamily look in his direction. He instinctively, I think, understood the cost of failure here would be absolutely catastrophic and absolutely eternal. So Peter, he tells the pastors, he tells these leaders to, first of all, shepherd the flock. Now, even if you're a city person, I think you're likely to understand what he's driving at here. The pastors and the leaders were to actually lead, instruct, protect, and discipline the sheep, and to do so for everyone's sake, not just for the shepherd's sake. Any way you look at it, I mean, there's no missing his point here, because shepherding the flock will require diligence, it will require work, it will require endurance, and not a lot of people are willing to take on that mantle. If the leaders let down their guard, the sheep get eaten by a lion. If you let down your guard, you get eaten by a lion. So clearly there's a lot of folks getting eaten both then and now, and it doesn't have to be that way at all. Because the fact remains today that far more folks that start this race will than those who fail to finish. You follow that? Again, there will be far more folks who start the race than finish the race. Matthew 7:14 says, "His way is narrow, and few shall find it." And I think we're quick to forget that passage. The reality is that so many Christians, as Charles Stanley puts it, have a commitment of convenience. He says they'll stay faithful as long as it's safe and doesn't involve risk and rejection and criticism. Instead of standing alone in the face of challenge or temptation, they'll check to see which way their friends are going. Indeed. And yet there is no hint of compromise or acquiesce found here in what Peter is writing throughout this letter. Peter begins to head now for the exit. And on his way out, he's going to leave us with a call to be sober and to be vigilant. From start to finish in this letter again, Peter surrendered no ground. He yielded no directive. Despite all the difficulties and all the trials and tests, Peter was unrelenting. There was and is, however, continued warnings. Warnings of a roaring lion prowling around seeking to take out those who are dreaming and those who are sleeping. We need to know today our adversary, the devil, quote unquote, he's out there just as sure as the enemies of one's flesh and passions are in here. We got it coming and going. We got it on both sides. Despite what may seem like a lot of doom and gloom, however, we also know that some people did indeed make it in Peter's day, just as some people do indeed make it today. So certainly one would naturally ask, well, what's the magic here? What's the secret to success? I mean, we aren't merely scripturally told to suck it up. We aren't simply told to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and, you know, hang in there and be tough, etc. Scripture says, rather, in Jude 1:21 says, keep ourselves in the love of God. Keep ourselves in the love of God. You see, gang, that's our focus. You know, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's the one thing on the table. All the rest of our defensive aspects will naturally follow if we are passionately in love with our Redeemer, if we understand clearly what he went through to bring us our redemption. If we get the sacrifices, if we get the commitments, the endurance of those who have gone on before us so that we might get this message, so the mail would get through to us. To grasp all of this requires that we embrace a life of humility and a life of thanksgiving. It requires that we embrace a life that moves. Now look, all of this, all that Peter has called us to in this letter, gang, it is doable if we keep ourselves in the love of God. To keep ourselves in the love of God, we pick up our cross daily and we follow him. Pick up our cross daily. Follow this one we love and have given ourselves to. And, you know, there is no compromise in that kind of love. There certainly is no turning back.